views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most inspired visionaries on the planet in lighthearted, lively dialogue. Join us as we explore the expansive nature of reality in a down-to-earth way, offering you insights and tools empowering you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Now, here's your host, Christine Upchurch.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Christine Upchurch Show, where we have stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. I'm speaking to you today from, drizzly, cloudy KKNW AM 1150 here at Hubbard Radio in the Seattle area. You may be listening here in the Seattle area, anywhere in Western Washington, or perhaps in Connecticut, New York, or Rhode Island with WBLQ AM 1230 there. Cable radio network somewhere across the country, one of the 35 stations in Australia, or anywhere around the world on Transformation Talk Radio. But wherever you're joining us from today, I'm so glad you have joined us because we're going to be talking about something very important. But before I get into that, I want to say hello to my better half in the studio who allows you to hear the wonderful conversations I get to have, Mr. Benny Mathers.
Hi there.
Good morning.
Good morning. Back to you. And good day to everyone listening.
Yes. It's so nice to see you, Benny.
Aw.
You know, this is the 6 days after the big game?
I love how everyone, like, approaches this whole thing because, I mean, it's big for us. We're the Seattle Seahawks are on to another Super Bowl. It's back-to-back. Hopefully we can have another win. With all the news of us winning the game and we were down with 3 minutes to go and we just staged this huge rally. It's unreal. It's still the talk.
It is. It was amazing.
Yes.
And you know, I think that it must have been all those hawk sounds that you put on
yes.
the radio last week.
That's I'm glad you said that because yeah. I'd be more than happy to play another one like right now and just, you know, remind listeners that we're very proud of it here.
Yes.
And we wish them good luck, as well as to our neighbors to the east, the New England Patriots. Only they're going through some issues right now with Deflategate, but I won't go there.
Uh-huh.
But WBLQ, you know, our stations over and affiliates, we wish them well. It's going to be a great game.
And, you know, I used to live in the Boston area.
Oh, okay.
I moved there when I was 15 years old, and mm-hmm. I actually did my undergraduate work at UMass Amherst.
Oh.
But, of course, I'm rooting for the Hawks.
Ah, hometown.
Yes, yes.
You got to.
You know, it's funny because I was in school forever, not because I couldn't get out and ever graduate, mind you, but I was interested in learning, and I got multiple degrees, and education was something that was very important to me. And my mind worked in a particular way, and I just sort of accepted the fact that, you know, that's the way it worked, and I figured that's the way it works for everybody. And then came along my first son who, you know, he was different in the sense that he was not auditory at all. It's like I could give him a list of three things to do, just say, Riley, go do this, this, and this. So very simple tasks. And after the first one, he'd turn and he'd say, Mommy, what's the next one? You know, when he was young, it was really clear that he wasn't learning very well through the auditory, but give him something visual. Oh, my goodness. He would remember it in great detail. If he watched a video or played like a computer game that had animation in it, he would learn so quickly. So at that point in my life, I realized that his mind was different than my mind, and it operated in a very different way. And it wasn't until, you know, years later, I homeschooled him for many years, and one of his homeschool evaluators sort of like put things in very clear terms for me about how his mind worked. And it helped me to help him learn better. And I thought about, you know, what would have happened to him had he been in the public school system or, you know, in any kind of traditional educational system? Would he have learned as well? Would he be as passionate about learning as he is today? And that brings to mind this concept of, you know, how do we learn and how are we teaching and what is intelligence and how do we tap into that greater depth of intelligence? And my guest today is an expert on that. She is the author of this book. I love the title, You Are Smarter Than You Think. Her name is Renee Molin Masters, and she has a degree in speech pathology from the university, from California State University. She was voted the most outstanding senior clinician by the faculty there, and she worked as a speech pathologist for a number of years, and then she ended up creating a remediation program for reading, which was later used statewide. And she eventually developed this program, You Are Smarter Than You Think, because it actually taps into strengths of people's learning so that everybody can be smart. And, you know, I'm so glad that she's here today. Renee Molin Masters, welcome to the Christine Epchurch Show.
Thank you for having me. I'm so glad to be here.
You know, this is such an important conversation because so many people, you know, whether they're in school currently or they were in school once upon a time, feel like they've been categorized as either smart or not so smart. What prompted you to start to look at intelligence in a new way?
Well, it happened sort of in a serendipitous kind of way. I had an experience when I was in second grade where my very best friend got moved to third grade, and when I asked her why that happened, she told me that the adults had told her that she was smarter than the rest of us. And so then, fast forward, we end up in a botany class together our freshman year in college. And this particular botany class is taught experientially, where we hold on to a pine cone if we're talking about pine cones.
Right.
Okay, and the test is given the same way. Well, at the end of the first test, I had gotten the highest grade in the class, which floored me. I'd never gotten the highest grade in any class. And she got a C, and she had studied. And
interesting.
I did not understand what happened. I thought, what went on here? What is this all about?
Right.
And then I went on, and I happened to major in something that was experiential, which was speech pathology, where we would work in the clinic, and then we would study it in the classroom. And that really worked for me, and I did very well. But then I was reading, I was doing research for another project that I was working on, and I ran across Dr. Howard Gardner's book, Frames of Mind. And when I read this book, it was like every experience I had had in school all came together, and I understood what he was saying. And he was talking about how brains are more different than fingerprints, and that different brains need different things in order to learn. So I got excited about it and started working with students, and I began teaching a college success class. And like a lot of teachers, I took that information and thought that maybe if I taught and hit all these different learning styles that my students would learn.
Right.
But what I found out is that didn't work. And I think a bunch of teachers have tried that and been unsuccessful and scratched their head and said, huh, what did I do wrong? But I didn't stop there. I started playing around with it. And what I realized is that learning is an individual thing, and it's self, in some ways, self-motivated. And so I began to experiment with the students, learning what their learning style was, their brain talent, and then showing them how to transform any learning situation. So if a teacher is a linguistic teacher and they're talking in a linguistic way and the student is spatial, I show that spatial student how to take spatial notes so that those linguistic words coming at them didn't matter. They took the notes in a spatial way, and they got the information. And when they read textbooks and studied for tests and took tests, they all used their brain talent instead of something else.
So, first of all, let's talk a little bit about how we generally teach in the public schools. What approach is typically used?
Well, schools were developed a long, long time ago by psychologists who said that intelligence had to do with with linguistic and logical ability. Mm-hmm. Thus, we have reading, writing, arithmetic.
Right.
Okay. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's just that it doesn't tell the truth. It's leaving two-thirds of the population outside the equation. And they don't even tell them that they're outside the equation. They just let them feel stupid.
So what does it mean to be outside of the equation?
It means you don't fit in.
Okay.
I never felt like I fit in school. You did.
Uh-huh.
Okay. When you don't fit in, you feel like you're in a foreign country.
Right.
And you try and do the best that you can, and it never measures up, and you end up thinking, boy, I am really stupid.
Mm.
And that little voice stays inside of you, and the feeling that I used to have is they're going to find out about me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had some success, and I thought, boy, one of these days they're going to find out that I'm a fake.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. And that doesn't exactly give you motivation to learn more. It's, you know, it's about treading water.
Exactly. And two-thirds of the population fall in that category.
Well, then something's very broken about our educational system. And I'm so thrilled to have this conversation with you, Renee, about how we can approach things differently. And we're going to get into some more details after we take a quick break. More with Renee Mullen-Masters.
High dive into frozen waves where the past comes back to life. Fight fear for the selfish pain, it was worth it every time.
What does a dentist of the year get? A little plaque. Welcome to Smile Big, where we offer cosmetic, restorative, and preventative dentistry. Dr. James Rosenwald and Dr. Susan Abdener work hard every day for their clients to be happy to smile with the latest equipment for complete smile restoration for anyone. The sooner you call, the sooner they can help. Call 425-454-4040 or email scheduling@smilebig.com. You can even visit our website at smilebig.com.
I'm Peggy Snow with another Stellar Reflections Minute. Presence, or what we think of as being fully in the moment, is a key element in the process of healing work. As a practitioner facilitating a session, genuine presence takes us out of our heads, where we tend to decide what is and maybe what should be for the client, and moves us into direct experience where we're available to witness the person in their wholeness. In this receptive realm, our senses are heightened and expanded, allowing us to perceive what's seeking to unfold and to interact in the moment. There's something profoundly powerful that happens when healing is approached in this simple, pure way. Balance can be restored and healing can take place on multiple levels. If you'd like more information about the services we offer at Stellar Reflections, visit us at stellarreflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Tune in to Heart Center Talk Radio with David Christopher Lewis, a gifted clairaudient, Aquarian spiritual author, and talented musical composer on TransformationTalkRadio.com every Wednesday, 9 a.m. Pacific Time, 12 p.m. Eastern Time, with delivering more than 4,000 messages from angels, masters, and divine beings. David will share the Ascended Master's teachings, insights, and surprising revelations to lightbearers. Meet transformative guests who embody change and inspire hope and get a refreshing and deeply meaningful perspective on life.
Tune in each Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 Eastern Time on Transformation Talk Radio to Limelight Radio with Katina Macris. This is an inspirational, cutting-edge radio show educating worldwide listeners on a diversity of Lyme disease-related topics. Each week, Katina will interview some of the world's leaders in health, wellness, spirituality, and human potential. For more information, visit LimelightRadio.com.
What if there was no right or wrong way to be a great parent? Join Access Consciousness Facilitator Glenna Rice as she and Dr. Pat invite you to be the questionable parents you truly are and empower you to know and give the awareness required to create ease and joy with your children. Join Dr. Pat and Glenna as they focus on parenting for the modern family. Tune in every month to the Dr. Pat Show on air and online at TransformationTalkRadio.com.
We cry.
crash, cause we both know how it ends. A clock ticks till it breaks your glass, and I drown in you again. Cause you are the piece of...
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio. I'm having a conversation today with the developer of You Are Smarter Than You Think program and the author of that book, Renee Mullen Masters. Renee, you know, before the break, we were talking about tapping into a particular type of intelligence within each individual. The question is it the teacher who needs to teach in ways to help students access the information, or is it something a little bit different than that?
No. See, what I discovered is that you can stand up there and teach your tail off, but it's not possible to reach every person in that room. It just isn't possible. Well, maybe it's possible if you work, you know, if you really do a lot of work, and it's not necessary is what I'm trying to say. The truth is, learning happens inside the student.
Right.
Okay? And a teacher can't make a student learn. There has to be a motivation within that student. So why not empower the student to know how what they need to do in order to learn? Then what they can do is they can transform any learning situation into something that works for them.
So they don't have to wait for it to be dished out in any particular way to them. They can take whatever is thrown their way and reprocess it if they need to.
Exactly. And it gives them amazing power, and it inspires them. They get really excited in the classroom. Teachers report that when they have a classroom full of these students that are self-responsible, they're on fire.
Wow.
They're raising their hand. They're thinking outside the box. They're critical thinking. Now, most classrooms today, you walk in, the teacher is spoon-feeding information.
Right.
So, and the kids are memorizing.
Yeah. So in this era of Google, you know, fast internet, why are we loading up our children with just basic knowledge?
Because we're enamored with the test result.
Oh, dear.
That's where the focus is, you know, No Child Left Behind. It's all based, it's all focused on the end result. And what's sad about that is we have lost our love of learning.
Mm-hmm.
It has gone out the window.
It has. And that's very, very sad for me to see. And I know that I've got, you know, lots of friends who have children, and they're just a very small percentage of those who have kids where the kids just love to read for the fun of it, or, you know, like to study about something on the internet and in books just for the fun of it. It's about doing what they have to do and then going playing Xbox or, you know, whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And, you know, let's talk about this because this is really important. There is a huge difference between memorizing and learning and the end result of it. And today's what's happening, and I think it's scary. The kids that are coming out of college have not learned one thing. They have memorized.
Oh, dear.
And when you memorize, nothing happens in the brain. It just goes in and comes out.
Right.
But when you learn something, a chemical reaction happens.
Oh.
And it grows you. It matures you. It makes you more open and seeing things from different perspectives.
Right.
It really does wonders for you. But these kids that are coming out of college today are empty. They have a fake self-esteem. They can't compete in the job market very well because they don't know anything, because they haven't learned anything.
Well, you know, I just have to share with you, you know, along these lines, the flip side of your story growing up about how you were worried that they were going to find out about you and you felt less than. Well, I have to tell you that I was really good at playing the game of the memorization, of remembering what I needed to remember in order to take the test and do well. And yet there were many times where I felt like, oh, gosh, you know, am I going to be found out? You know, like there was something wrong with me because I couldn't retain it. You know, it wasn't until I got into graduate school when I found out that I had to remember what it was I learned the last semester and the year before that and the year before that. And it kind of put me into this panic like, oh, it wasn't about just getting done with the class and getting a good grade. It was about actual learning. And it, you know, it is a totally different kind of thing.
It is. It's completely different. And people think, we were doing some filming at our local university here, and we were asking the kids what their learning style was and how long they learned the information. And the kids were laughing and saying, oh, college is just about short-term memory. But it shouldn't be.
Right.
It shouldn't be. If we really want people to come out with new ideas and to move on to the next thing, we've got to have kids graduating who can think.
And create.
And create.
Yes.
And think outside the box.
Right.
And we're not getting that right now.
Yeah, and that's really frightening for the future of our society.
Absolutely.
Not to mention that the joy and basic happiness and success level of the young adults who are graduating from college.
Exactly. And, you know, the thing I want to talk about that's really important is that the solution is for individual teachers to get excited about learning again. If they could get excited about learning, and if they could require learning in the classroom, and then if the kids are having trouble with that, they could then help them figure out what they need to do in order to learn.
As opposed to just sort of presenting things in the classroom and having the kids go to their homes or their dorms and learn about it on their own.
Exactly. But support them. Empower them.
Right.
Empower them. And every kid in that classroom could get A's. I mean, in nursing, nursing's tough.
Oh,
it's really hard. And this school back east ordered a few books and used it on their nursing students last fall. It got the kids so pumped up. They were telling each other about it and demanding that the teachers get the book for them.
Oh, so you're talking about your book, You Are Smarter Than You Think.
Yes, because it made it so much easier for them.
So what is it about your program and your book that helps people to kind of tap into their own learning style and empowers them in a new way?
Well, there's the first thing they do is they take two self-evaluations. One's based on Dr. Howard Gardner's work, and the other one has to do with processing language. And once they take those two self-evaluations, then they are shown how to take that information and use it when they're listening to a lecture, when they're reading a textbook, and when they're studying for a test, and when they're taking a test. So that in all those situations, instead of just doing what they've always done, they have a tool that allows them to use their brain talents so that the information goes right into long-term memory.
Yeah.
And I'll give you an example of this.
Okay.
One of my first students was, she was a pre-nursing major, and she had to learn all this anatomy and physiology stuff, and she had a test coming up.
Yeah, and that's heavy-duty stuff.
It's heavy-duty stuff, and people tend to want to memorize it.
Right.
So we found out she was musical. We also found out she was auditory, and we found out she was body kinesthetic. Those were her brain talents. Those were her eight-lane freeways going into her long-term memory. So what we did is we had her, she could play the piano without thinking, which was music and body kinesthetic, and we had her put everything she had to learn onto a tape so she could listen to it. So she sat down at the piano, started playing, and listened to this tape all the way through. When she's done, she went to her mom and said, Mom, I want you to test me on everything. And she knew it cold.
Just so the next one time through?
One time through.
One time through. That's amazing.
I know, it is. Our brains are incredible. So the next day she took the test and she got one of the highest grades. And I talked to her about 10 days later and she still knew the material.
Amazing. And that retention is so important because it's not just about the test. In fact, it shouldn't be about the test. It's about learning it.
Exactly. And she was pre-nursing. So when she, as she was remembering, like nursing instructors have always said to me, Renee, it drives us crazy because they take anatomy and physiology and they take microbiology.
Mm-hmm.
And there's as a pre-class,
right.
Okay? So that when they get to nursing, they have those two things, and most of them don't. You know, they don't
right.
have, they haven't remembered a thing.
Uh-huh.
So when they get to nursing, all the background that's supposed to help them learn this new stuff is not there.
Uh-huh. And probably the... they use the same approach to learning that they used the first time around, which is going to be as effective or as ineffective as it was the first time around.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to have to go to another quick break in just a couple of moments. But when we come back, Renee, I'm going to want you to just to spell out for us what the different types of learning strengths are, the different categories, and talk a little bit more about this within the context of classrooms, but also have you share some information about how this can be helpful for those of us who are no longer in school. When we return here in a few moments with Renee Mullen-Masters on the Christine Upchurch Show.
It's here, the 23rd Annual Women of Wisdom Conference, February 12th through the 16th. This year's theme is I Am We, Hearts Connecting Communities. Join us Valentine's Day. Maiden Mother Crone by Sinner Saint Burlesque will entertain, challenge, empower, confuse, embrace, and deeply engage the audience, weaving feminist activism and our sensory exploration for both ancient and modern myths about the feminine. Community-building events include open space World Cafe dialogues with Inspirational Jane to explore important issues to women and a teen activist panel interwoven with intergenerational dialogues. Find out all the details at www.womenofwisdom.org. That's www.womenofwisdom.org.
Register for a half-day workshop and bring a friend for 40% off.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. What does the word healing mean? Many think that healing merely means eliminating symptoms. However, based on my many years as a healer, I have a much broader perspective on the word. Healing can manifest in a variety of ways, including having physical problems resolved, becoming more emotionally centered, experiencing better relationships, gaining greater clarity, and feeling more spiritually connected. True healing always includes some level of transformation. Whatever form healing takes, there is one commonality, an improvement in quality of life. To me, the highest form of healing goes beyond aligning with wellness. It comes from recognizing our soul's voice and allowing it to speak through us. And in that sense, don't we all yearn to heal into our wholeness? Please visit StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Sky Siegel co-hosts one of today's most popular psychic shows, Angels and Answers, with Artie Hoffman as she communicates healing messages from the spirit world. These messages can be astounding, enlightening, and life-changing. Born with the God-given talent of inner guidance and the amazing ability to heal, Sky has healed thousands of people. Schedule a reading with Sky now. Call 908-500-1474 and visit skyofangels.com.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show. Stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. Engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
And those he plays never suspect. He doesn't play for the money he wins.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW, WBLQ, CRN, and Transformation Talk Radio. I'm having a conversation today about intelligence and education with Renee Mullen Masters, the author of You Are Smarter Than You Think. And she's also got an online program that we'll talk a little bit more about. Now, Renee, we've been talking about the problems with learning and the fact that people are actually getting out of college, of all places, and not being well-equipped to contribute to society and support themselves. So let's take a step back and talk about the different types of learning styles or the different categorizations of how our own inner brains and intelligence work.
Okay. I like to refer to them as brain talent, and I like to refer them as 8-lane freeways that go directly into long-term memory. Most people, when they're not using their brain correctly, use these broken highways and poorly insulated highways, and they have to go over and over and over and over the material, and then it just is memorized.
Uh-huh.
But when you really use these strong neural pathways that you have naturally, the information goes right into long-term memory, and everybody's experienced that. So the areas that we look at are, first of all, we look at these are the different brain talents that you can have. There's linguistic, and this person is really in love with words,
mm-hmm.
their words, the correct words. Their words are better than the words that they read. The second brain talent is logical, and these people need sequential information to come into them
uh-huh.
in order for them to get it.
Right.
The third is spatial, and they really like very few words, but really respond to color and picture. And the linguistic person overwhelms the spatial person with
right.
their words.
Yes. I've seen that in action, actually.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then the next one is musical. And these people may not be able to play an instrument, but at some place inside of them, there's a sense of music, and they can use that to get information into long-term memory.
Uh-huh.
Other people are body kinesthetic, and those people need movement when they learn. And then the last two categories are talented in knowing self and knowing others, and they are what we call experiential learners. And the people that are talented in knowing self, when they were little, they knew what they wanted to wear, what they wanted to eat. They may not have been allowed to do that, but they knew it.
Uh-huh.
And people that are talented in knowing others had a great sense of if somebody was telling the truth or safe, that kind of thing, and they are also the actors.
Uh-huh.
And experiential, the people that are talented in knowing self, they need to teach what they're trying to learn, either the wall or a person or a dog or cat or whatever. You know, they just need to teach it and in order to have an experience of it. And for
right.
the people that are talented and others need to relate it to what they already know. So like when I was in that botany class, they were talking about a pine cone. I actually had a pine cone in my hand.
Mm-hmm.
So I had an experience of what they were talking about. And you can create those experiences with anything that you're trying to learn, and we talk about it in the book and in the online program.
Mm-hmm.
And so the whole idea here is when you take these self-evaluations, then you find out where your strengths are. We don't worry about weaknesses.
Right.
And we also look at how you process language. And some people like to hear it. Some people like to read it.
Uh-huh.
Some people like to hear it and read it. And it's amazing. When I started putting this together, I didn't know what the preferences were. I didn't know if there would be huge differences. And what I found out shocked me. Some people get about 20% when they hear it, and maybe 30% when they read it.
Uh-huh.
But when they hear it and read it together, they get 90%.
Interesting.
And just that one piece of information can make a huge difference.
Yeah. Well, you know, with my youngest son, who's now 14, he actually loves when he's supposed to be reading something, and he's really good at reading something and comprehending it. You know, he tests well in that, but he actually has a strong preference to have somebody else read it to him, because it allows him to process it better for some reason, and he's able to comprehend it even better in it. For a while, I thought, you know, should I be doing this? This is not what the assignment is. It's like, no, he can read just fine. So I basically will read to him, and he seems to get more of it that way.
Well, it's interesting. It would be interesting for him to take this test, because he might be auditory.
Mm-hmm.
And if he is...
Oh, yeah, I think he is.
You know, there's a way for him to get auditory books and to make tapes himself. And, he can also have a computer program that takes the book, the letters, and then gives him the auditory. You might want to teach him how to do it himself.
Uh-huh.
So he's not dependent on you.
Right.
Which is important, because you're not going to always be around.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, eventually he's going to... Be thrilled to be moving out, yes.
Exactly. So, you know, eventually he's got to do it on his own.
Right.
But it's good that you know that piece of information.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, with the computer, there's just so much available. Like if you are a blind person, there's software that will take a book and read it. It looks at it. It's not expensive software.
Uh-huh.
And you just run this thing over the page and it reads it to you.
Interesting.
It's really fascinating. There's all kinds of software stuff now available.
And I'm also fascinated by the musical piece of it. When you're talking about how there's some people who haven't never even learned to play music, but the music helps empower them to get that information into their long-term memory.
Yeah, they have a musical talent. Mm-hmm. And the musical talent, they may not sing, they may not. It comes out in some way. Mm-hmm. And we have questions that we ask them. They might be a dancer. They might be someone that just, when music is playing, they can't hold their foot still.
Uh-huh.
It comes out.
Okay. All right. So, you know, you've laid out the various types of brain talents, as you call them. Now, how does somebody, like, get evaluated for this?
Well, in my two self-evaluations that are in my book and in my online training,
mm-hmm.
you take a look at how you were as a kid, because before age 5, you were more connected to your true self.
Ah.
So we ask you questions like, how were you when you were under the age of 5 with this particular thing? And most people can answer the question.
Uh-huh.
But if they don't have memory of it, I ask them to go with their first impulse, because the impulse is always correct.
Uh-huh.
And so that's what we do, is we ask questions. After a series of questions, we can tell where their strengths are. And it's pretty accurate test. I mean, we've been doing it for 25 years.
Uh-huh.
And thousands of people have used it and been successful.
So how do people find their way to your online program?
If they go to my website, which is youaresmarterthanyouthink.com,
mm-hmm.
They can see a trailer of my online training, so they actually can see what it's like. The book, everything that I'm talking about is in the book.
Uh-huh.
It's also in the online training.
Right.
The reason we created the online training, which you can get to from my website, is that teachers were telling us, we don't have time to teach this in class.
Uh-huh.
Can you give us something that we can assign to them as homework, and then we'll reinforce it in class? So that's what I did. It takes 2 hours to go through it. Teachers assign it as homework. There are a couple of pages that the kids can turn in so that the teacher knows that they actually did it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the whole thing is using it, and the teacher then reinforces it in the classroom and talks to them about, are you using what you're supposed to do while you're listening to a lecture? Are you studying the correct way? Are you reading your textbook the right way?
Uh-huh.
And then has the students share when they have success, and it just encourages the others.
So how old do kids need to be to use this online program or to use this approach that you outline in your book?
I think, I think a junior, from junior high and up.
Uh-huh.
The problem that we have in school is that the expectation is so low. And teachers would deny that. But if you give tests that requires, that will allow a student to memorize the material and spit it back like a robot,
mm-hmm.
you have a low expectation.
You betcha.
And so if a student, that expectation has got to change.
Right. And, one of the things that I've observed with my younger student is more work at home, more homework, more work in the class doesn't necessarily bring greater understanding. I mean, there are some classes where he gets a huge amount of homework and it feels like he doesn't really retain the information for as long. And then there was one class in particular, there was one class last year, it was a science class, and he never brought homework home, except, occasionally if he had a test to study for, he'd spend a little bit of time sort of reviewing his notes. But beyond that, he didn't bring any homework home. And he kept talking about things in the science class. I mean, he was really understanding it deeply. And I'm thinking, is it just his own proclivity? Or is there something about, the way that they're teaching it that happens to tap into, one of his brain talents?
That's it. And what's tragic about this is if he knew what his brain talents were,
uh-huh.
how old is he?
He's now 14.
He's 14.
Yeah.
Okay, he's old enough.
Yeah.
And if he knew what his brain talents were, he could have every class feeling like science. The reason he got it, it was probably really auditory.
Uh-huh.
He's probably really high auditorily.
Yeah, I think he is.
And
the opposite of his brother. Yeah.
Yeah. But he needs to learn his other talents so that when it isn't auditory, he's coming home with homework, he can make that homework count.
Right. Yeah, it's very exciting. And I know those of you who have kids in school and including college could benefit from this. And, when we return here, I'm going to ask Renee about how we as individuals who've already gone through our schooling and are, long away from the educational process, how we can become more empowered in our day-to-day learning by tapping into our brain talents. More with Renee Mullen-Masters when we return here on the Christine Upchurch Show.
In retirement, will you have enough money to live life on your terms? Everyone has retirement questions. Ask Ameriprise Financial Advisor Jeff Packman about the new Confident Retirement Approach. You and Jeff can break down retirement planning step by step to get the real answers you need. In fact, 93% of clients who've had the Confident Retirement Approach conversation feel more confident about their retirement. Call Jeff Packman Financial Advisor at 425-453-0272 for your Confident Retirement conversation today. Office is located at 601 108th Avenue Northeast, Suite 1800, Bellevue, Washington, 98004. Percentage based on Ameriprise Financial Confident Retirement Client Survey as of December 2013. The Confident Retirement Approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated. A registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, member FINRA and SIPC.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. For centuries, spiritual traditions have talked about how humans have an energy field, or aura, surrounding them. Although skeptical scientists refuted this for decades, science is now beginning to catch up with spirituality. Scientists can actually measure light emanating from living beings, so they can measure the human aura, which in scientific terms is known as the biofield. Many medical practitioners around the world use an instrument to evaluate a patient's biofield for the purpose of diagnosing illness. They understand that imbalanced or insufficient light in a person's energy field indicates a physical or emotional problem. The good news? There are ways to balance and increase your light, resulting in greater well-being. For more information, please check out StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
You got attitude? Keys to the rescue. Adjust your attitude with Keys Clear Protein Waters. So refreshing. Just a few sips of Keys will give you a whole new outlook thanks to 22 grams of the happiest protein on earth. Tongue-tingling tasty without the guilt of naughty or nasty ingredients. If that doesn't put a smile on your face, maybe you need to drink too. Put a little woohoo in your attitude with Keys Protein Water. On Amazon or at Keys, K-E-E-S, please.com.
Welcome back to the Christine Eptrich Show here on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio. You know, I'm having a fascinating conversation today with Renee Mullen Masters, who has developed a program that's been tried and shown to be very true and helpful. It's the program and the book are both called You Are Smarter Than You Think. Now, Renee, you're talking about the different kinds of brain talents. And you've also talked about how this program has been tested. What did you find when this program was implemented?
It's been astounding. Like in nursing, we have had nursing programs that are losing 80% of their students, okay? Nursing's hard. And we introduce this program, get the kids knowing how to use their brain correctly. And one semester, it flip-flops where they're saving 80%. We did a pilot at the University of Minnesota.
Uh-huh.
And we had 100 kids involved. The students succeeded so much that the ones that were on probation got off probation. Everybody's grade improved at least a couple of grades.
Uh-huh.
And the kids that had been in college for like six years trying to get into their major area but couldn't get a high enough GPA, they were finally able to get a high enough GPA to get into their major.
That's great.
And the comments from the students, they're on my website, but they were just saying, I didn't know I needed it, but I can't imagine I've ever made it without this.
That's great. That's great. So can your program help people who aren't in school?
Absolutely. I mean, when we get out of school, we don't stop learning.
Yeah.
And we're in marriages where the person that we're living with brain works differently than ours, and it causes friction. But if you understand what's going on, it won't cause friction.
Right.
So that's another use of this.
Yeah, and it's funny because there's this longstanding joke with my ex. You know, years ago, he always wanted to tell me, you know, how a clutch works. He says, "I really need to tell you how a clutch works." And I had no interest in learning how to drive a standard, you know, transmission car. But, you know, he always wanted to explain to me how a clutch worked. And every time he'd go to start talking about it, it's like, no, please don't tell me that, right? And it wasn't until years later that I realized, oh, he's very auditory. He's very verbal. It's all about the words and wanting to go into great detail about the words. I'm very visual. And that did not work for me hearing about it. So eventually, you know, when we understood this difference, he was able to communicate that to me. And I still don't care about how a clutch works, but at least I learned.
Yes, exactly. I mean, it's amazing. I had a host yesterday on a show that was writing a book, and she is linguistic and her husband is logical.
Uh-huh.
And he's been trying to get her to learn this outlining program that's on the computer that she can use to get herself more organized. And she said, I hate that thing.
Uh-huh.
But it is. It's just the way it is. We are all so different. And if we just had an appreciation for ourselves,
uh-huh.
it would help us to have an appreciation for this person that's standing in front of us.
Right, and to understand that there are differences, because it's so important when we're interacting with others, you know, in personal relationships, including parent and child, to understand that people's brains work differently from ours.
And it's not that they're trying to be a problem. They're just different.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, thinking about brain talents and learning and perhaps difficulty with learning early on, do you think that the ADHD that's being diagnosed left and right, do you think that that's actually something that is occurring, a disorder that is occurring, or do you think it has to do with learning in some way?
Well, it's really interesting you bring this up. This program has been used by a number of different learning disability programs at the university level. And at Sac State, Sacramento State College, I got called a few years ago, and this teacher said, you know, it's really interesting. Once our students learn how their brain functions, they're no longer learning disabled.
Oh.
And they don't need our program anymore.
That's great.
And what's happened is what happens, and the reason I know about it, because, you know, I was a speech pathologist, and we pigeonhole people. You know, we don't know what to do with them, so we'll pigeonhole them.
Right.
And we'll label them, and we'll put them into this hole, because I don't know how to work with them. And we do that all the time. And we label people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, it's not fair.
Yeah. And
it's not right. It may not, I don't know. It's just not correct.
Right. So how do you feel about the fact that so many children are getting drugged in order to deal with their, you know, their learning disability?
Well, I don't know. I think it's to make a blanket statement is not going to be a fair statement, because
uh-huh.
I know I was raised with a brother who was autistic,
uh-huh.
and my parents did not know how to deal with his behaviors.
Right.
And
oh,
they needed every kind of help that they needed, and they didn't get it.
Uh-huh.
And I'll tell you, if I was a mom and I had a kid that was autistic, it's tough.
Mm-hmm.
It's really tough. So I don't know the answer to that question.
Right, right. Well, it sounds like if utilizing this program and tapping into individuals' brain talents can help, you know, people go from, like, disabled to no longer disabled, then, you know, perhaps some of the kids who are getting diagnosed with ADHD, if they tapped into their brain talents, then they are able to learn, and it would no longer be an issue for as many.
Yes, I think that's true. I think that's true. And I think that if we could just, you know, shift the thinking from being so focused on testing and be focused on the wonderful excitement of learning, you know, it's kind of like, I don't know if you've ever been in a Montessori classroom.
Oh, yeah.
Or a Waldorf
my son was in a Montessori school for through seventh grade, rather.
Isn't it fun to be there? It's just
like,
whoa, this is so much fun.
Exactly. And
the
things he was learning at, like, you know, in third grade, I'm like, I didn't learn that until I was in college. But it was just a different way of looking at things.
No, and the kids are enjoying it. And our Waldorf school here where I live is just so, I always go to their Christmas fair because it's so filled with joy and spirit and
uh-huh.
fun, and it's like, oh, it's addicting.
Mm-hmm.
And if we could just interject that into our schools, it would just be a whole wonderful different experience.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, this hour has flown by. I know that you've got this online program. Can you remind listeners again your website?
Yes, it is youaresmarterthanyouthink.com.
Yeah, and it's fascinating, and I want to learn more, both for my kids as well as for myself. And I'm so grateful to have you here today, Renee, and I'm grateful that you're doing the work that you've done.
I just thank you so much for having me and for letting me, you know, get the word out to people that might be struggling, because I really want to help them.
Yeah, and that's great. And I thank you for joining us here today, and I look forward to talking to you again soon.
You've been listening to The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. Each week, this show engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about the transformative healing work of Christine, visit www.StellarReflections.com. And for weekly topics, visit www.TransformationTalkRadio.com.